Welcome to the Holy Church of God's Global Outreach Center. We pray that this gospel message will reach its mark into the hearts of the hearers, glorify God, lift up Jesus, and save the lost, that it will comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable and fully furnish us with a heart for God.
And the preaching. I heard the story, and I've told you that story. It's a true story of a man who his wife couldn't get him in a church service, just couldn't get him to go. And finally, after actually years of praying for him, got him to go to church. And he got in the church service. Evangelist was preaching, and he preached on hell. And the man said, "I'm never going back there to church again." But about a year later, another evangelist came, and his heart somehow through continual intercession was softened enough to go one more time. And guess what the message was the night he came? He said, "I know this is unsavory, and I know a lot of people don't like to hear it, but I'm compelled to tell you the only other option than coming to Christ tonight." And he preached on the eternal destiny of the wicked without the Lord. And the wife, at the end, when the invitation was being given, she bowed and she earnestly prayed for her husband. When she looked up, he was gone. And she figured he was in the car waiting for her to come out, and this would be it. This would be it. This would turn him off completely. Instead, he was in the altar weeping his way to salvation. Amen. And on the way home, when she asked him about what happened to him, he described the conviction and the draw of God in his life. She said, "But you know the message tonight was the same." He said, "Yeah, but the messenger was different." He said, "The first man I said heard preach on hell, amen, preached like he was glad that sinners were going there." He said, "But the second man preached his whole sermon with a broken heart, and God got a hold of me." Hallelujah. So, folks, we need a tender heart toward people that are outside the kingdom tonight. We'll never have the compassion to compel us to go into the fields and compel them to come in unless we begin to appreciate what it means to be lost. I don't believe evangelism to build a number counts in churches, evangelism to raise budgets, amen, that kind of evangelism is for all the wrong reasons. Even though we're talking about Jesus and salvation and water baptism and church membership and going to heaven, it's not for the right reason. The only real motive that is close to the heart of God is that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son that none would perish. If that perishing was just a sudden death of judgment, amen, it would be different, but it isn't. It's an eternal death of torment. Now, that is beyond our grasp of understanding. I can't fully appreciate that. But I know that it's real, and I know according to Scripture it's reality. I don't want one of my loved ones to miss heaven. Amen. I'm going to pray, and I'm going to try to live a good example. But you know something? We're going to need the Holy Ghost to work in hearts. Nothing we can say can cause them to tremble. Not even what Paul said in and of itself caused Felix to tremble. But when he was ministering on judgment to come, the Holy Spirit made that real in the heart of Felix. When Peter was preaching on the day of Pentecost, it wasn't the supernatural phenomena. Amen. The Bible said something far beyond what they saw and emotionally experienced as they saw it. Amen. It said their heart was pricked. That's not because they were watching people act extraordinary, staggering under the power of God. That just captured their attention to hear a message. But while the message was being preached, the Holy Ghost did something in the heart. He took it. He made it real within the heart. He convinced them of sin and of unrighteousness. Amen. And of an impending judgment. And they came, 3,000 came to know the Lord on that day. Isn't that incredible? The outpouring of the Spirit is not just for Pentecostals to have a good time with, but it's a tool, hallelujah, not a toy. He is present to work in conjunction with the gospel and our personal witness. You don't have to be a theologian. You got a testimony. God brought you out of darkness into light. You can just share what he's done for you. You can live and behave what he's done for you. Amen. I want to read tonight another scripture before we go to our text scripture. I didn't know whether to read it or not. We didn't have time this morning, but if you'll turn with me to the book of Isaiah, chapter 33, verse 5 and 6. Two verses out of Isaiah 33. I preached a lot out of Isaiah 30 and 31. Those situations are almost a panicked people that are looking at a great forces coming against them. And they're beginning to consider their options, and they begin to consider the wrong options. One of the options was to go down to Egypt for help. And the prophet told them, woe unto them that go down into Egypt for help and have not asked at my mouth. See, there were times when God would allow people to ally with Israel. In fact, an alliance with Israel is something that God will always bless. He blesses the nations that bless them. He curses the nations that curse them. It's not a matter of whether they're actually correct in their politics. They're in covenant with God. And He chastens them, but He won't let you do it. And He won't let me do it. And He won't let the Arab world do it. And He won't let bin Laden do it. And He will not let Muammar Gaddafi do it. And He won't let the Scuds find their mark. And part of what I believe the original Gulf War was about was more than oil and U.S. politics. There was a direct threat to the nation of Israel during that war. Missiles were going to be launched against them. They'd like nothing more to destroy that little nation. And we became the buffer between the enemies of Israel and Israel. And in that first Gulf War, it was a very quick, decisive victory. People ran out to surrender. This mother of all wars turned into the mother of all defeats for that particular army. It was just a crushed army. And I believe it was because God was blessing us because we were standing as a buffer between enemies of Israel and Israel. The United States doesn't have to agree, nor do you have to agree with all the decisions that are made politically in Israel. That's not the supreme issue with God. The supreme issue is an ancient covenant that He made with Abraham. Can you say amen? And the important thing is, even if you don't agree, let God deal with them. They're the chosen. Believe me, He deals with His own people. He chastens His own. But He chastens His own. Unless He allows a king like Nebuchadnezzar to become an agent of His correction in the land, no one else had better come up against Israel. Amen? They have to come through God to do that. He has to give special permission. And Nebuchadnezzar thought he did it and thought that they had conquered and they ruled until the time that God said, that's enough. And then when they bucked against letting him go, he said, will the axe say to him that cuts with it, why hast thou used me thus? Can you say amen? In other words, I used you as an instrument, and the instrument doesn't talk back to the one using it. I'm God, I'm Almighty, and I am in control of this world and this universe. Praise God. Particularly concerning the covenant people. By the way, just want you to know that he that keepeth Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps. He's always cognizant. He's always awake. He's always got His eye upon the covenant people. And I just want to throw this out to you. As you see God keeping Israel and prophecy being fulfilled, Him keeping His word to that people in spite of all of the armies and all of the intentions of evil against those people in that nation, know and understand that you have been brought in to Abraham's family tree and to that covenant. Can you say amen? How many are believers here? You're of the household of faith then, aren't you? Amen. Bible said in that household, Jew and Gentile lose their distinguishing marks. We become one in Jesus Christ. It even redefines what a Jew is. Hallelujah. Said it's not just one that's after the flesh, but after the spirit after a while. And this is not eliminating God's plan and pattern for Israel. And that's not taking that away or taking from that. It's saying that we have become identified. We've been grafted into, the scripture said, the true vine. What happens when you graft it into to any tree? If you take a branch and graft it in, amen, then everything that comes up to that tree comes up to that grafted in branch, amen. All of the life and all of the nourishment, it makes no distinguishment between the natural vine and the grafted in branch. Isn't that incredible? So when we start reading about God keeping Israel, we can begin to take a consolation that God is keeping us as well. And if God is performing His word there, He's going to perform it in my life and in your life. Amen. And in His church, praise God. Hallelujah. So here's the situation. They're in trouble. The pressure is on. They're in perilous times themselves, though not the perilous end time scenario exactly. But Israel's in trouble in Isaiah. And God is calling them back to a trusting relationship in Him. Just read it real quick. Isaiah 33, 5 and 6. The Lord is exalted, for He dwelleth on high, and He hath filled Zion with judgment and righteousness. And wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of thy tithes. Isn't that incredible? It's something they know about God that's going to bring stability in this troubled time. And strength, and the strength of salvation is going to come through this knowledge. And the fear of the Lord is his treasure. One translator says, the fear of the Lord is the key to it all. This divine reverence. I can't preach loving God without reverencing God. I can't preach faith in God without reverencing God. I can't preach anything about God without reverence. Amen. It's all capsulized within reverence. If we don't reverence the Lord, if we try to use Him without reverencing Him or manipulate Him or just get what we want without giving the honor that is due Him, amen, it's going to backfire somewhere along the line. Amen. I've heard some teachings on faith and testimonies about people. I've seen some wonderful things happen that just blow me away. But there's more to this than just getting a need met. Amen. The great need of the church and the great need of the Christian is to learn how to bow before God in deep reverence and awe. It's called the fear of the Lord. And it is the what? It's the beginning of wisdom. And wisdom and knowledge shall be the what? The stability of your times. Even in these troubled times, these shaky times, we're still teaching on standing firm on shaking ground. Wisdom and knowledge. I love the letter to the Ephesians where Paul begins to pray for the church at Ephesus. And he says, I bow my knee to the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And I pray that He would grant unto you the spirit of revelation and wisdom in wisdom and knowledge in the revelation of Him. I want you to know the God that loves you. Know the God that sent His Son. Know the Son that died for you on the cross. Can you say amen? And the only way you can truly know Him is as the Holy Spirit reveals Him. You can't just sit in a Bible class and come to know Him. But the Holy Ghost can make Him known to you. Isn't that incredible that He can do that? It's one of those greater works of the Spirit. It goes beyond the goose pimples on your skin. Can you say amen? How many loves them goose pimples on your skin? I love to get in the presence of God until I get goosebumps on my goosebumps. Hallelujah. I love the reaction emotionally and physically and mentally to the presence of God. But above all, there's a deeper walk with God than just what you feel. I've seen people shout in a service, speak in other tongues, but every time I've saw them out from under that euphoric state of emotion, they have been defeated and depressed, many times deceived and despondent. And I said, Lord, there's got to be more to the charismatic Pentecostal full gospel movement, amen, than just feeling You, amen, come upon us. There's got to be a sense of Your presence with us. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. That's where the peace is. That's where the power is. That's where the joy is. That's where the stability comes from. They that know their God, Daniel says, shall be strong. And they shall what? Do exploits. The whole book of Acts is about people that knew their God. And the reason they were doing these exploits is because they knew their God. You can't build the kind of faith that the Bible speaks of. Faith is not just a force that comes by reading the Word. This is a trust relationship based on intimacy with a person. Oh, you didn't hear me. Amen. We get it wrong. You say, well, faith comes by hearing. We immediately think of promises. We don't think of person. The Old Testament equivalent of faith is essential to understanding New Testament faith. Because there's one word for it in the Old Testament. And it's not faith. It's trust. And when I say trust, you don't think of a force within you. You think of a person you know intimately. And if you don't know them intimately, you can never trust them. So God is calling His church to intimacy so that we can trust Him. And when we trust Him out of a relationship of entering into His presence and knowing Him intimately, this wisdom and knowledge of Him shall become the stability of our times. Because it means that you can go through trouble and not wonder where God is. You'll know He's with you and not doubt Him. And there's no escaping the trouble in the end times. There's no escaping the tribulation of living in a fallen world in a faulty body. Amen. In this world you shall have thelpsis. Amen. Tribulation, which means pressure and anguish. And there's a lot of people not coping very well with the pressure and anguish of the last days. Amen? That's why we're having so many psychological problems, and the church is having to add counseling staffs to try to deal with all the psychological problems. And the problem is we're trying to blend the Bible with psychobabble. And I'm going to tell you something about your Bible. Your Bible will not blend with Freud. Your Bible will not blend with psychobabble. I'm not against Christian psychology as long as the psychology is Bible-based. Amen. God made us. God knows how to fix us. Anybody here got a Rolls? Royce, that is. I didn't say Rolls. Nobody raised their hand. Anyway, anybody here got a Rolls Royce? No one in the whole audience? I thought maybe a couple of you may have a Rolls. See, the tape thinks I'm in a fine church. Anyway, just Beamers and Mercedes in the parking lot. No Rolls Royce. Amen. It has a lifetime guarantee. You know why it has a lifetime guarantee? You can't work on it. And you can't take it to the Ford place. And you can't take it to the Chevrolet place. And you better not take it to a shade tree mechanic. If somebody touches it with a wrench, because they say, I can fix that thing. Amen. Did you know what's going to happen? Void and null is the warranty. Are you listening to me? But if you take it to a certified Rolls Royce mechanic, he can work on it. Amen. Because they're certified. These are the people that make them. And whoever makes it knows how to fix it. Can you say amen? Let me tell you something. Amen. You got a maker. Don't forget about that. You got a maker. Let me tell you something about your maker. Believe it or not, he knows how to fix you. Can you say amen? Let me tell you something about the Holy Ghost. He's a good doctor. He's a good lawyer. He's a good physician. He's a good fixer. If he ever gets turned loose in the church again, he'll do more than cause us to shout and dance. He'll begin to fix us, praise God. Amen. Heal the hurt. Take care of your troubled mind. Don't tell me God can rule the universe, but he can't do nothing with you. Can you say amen? Don't tell me that a physician could do more to you than the one who created you. I'm looking for the day when altars are used again to get fixed when we have problems. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? Are you listening to me? I think we're pushing the Holy Ghost out. We want Him to come and bless us. We want Him to come when we dance and shout and praise. We need Him to come and help us. We need Him to come and heal us within and without. And we need Him, amen, to help us with our minds and help us with our past and help us with our hurts and help us with our heal our memories. We need Him to come into our brokenness. Listen, the Holy Ghost is up for it. He's up to the task, praise God. A demoniac that had so many demons inside of him, her chains couldn't hold him. And he ran naked among the rocks, amen. When he encountered Jesus, something so mighty happened that he sat at his feet, clothed in his right mind. If God can do something with a demoniac with a legion of devils driving him, God can do something for you and me. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and He's going to be the same forever. Hallelujah. 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 We can just learn how to connect with Him. Not just go to church and not just have hands laid on us, but actually connect with Him. They that do know their God. So Paul says, God grant unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge in the revelation of Him, that you might know what is the hope of your calling. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And yet you might know what is the riches of His inheritance in the saints. Not your inheritance in Him, but how He looks at you, how He cherishes you, how He treasures you, how that you have become a peculiar people, a special people unto Him, how that we are Christ's bride, Christ's reward for His suffering on the cross, and He can't wait to come and get us and take us home. Hallelujah. And that you might know also, He said, the power to usward who believe. What's available to us, to usward, the power to usward. Can you say, man, who have believed on Christ, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead? That's some awesome power. Amen. Someone said the church of the 21st century is weak and anemic because she lives below her privilege of power. How many can agree with that tonight? We're living below our privilege of power. Hallelujah. Because the same power that raised Jesus from the dead has been made available mightily through the Holy Ghost to you and to me. And we can, in fact, do all things through Christ who strengthens us with that kind of power. Can you say amen? We are equal to the challenges of our generation. We are equal to the onslaught of the enemy. Hallelujah. Greater is He when it comes to truth and understanding in us than he that is filled with deception in the world. We have an unction from the Holy One. And wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of your times, of their times, of our times. Can you say amen? And the strength of our salvation. And the fear of the Lord is His treasure. Oh, if the church would reverence God again so the glory could come. I'll tell you, fire comes on a burning bush, it's no time to get out the Polaroid. Can you say amen? Fire comes on the burning bush, it's no time to sell tickets, amen, and let people look at it and say, like my bird, when something weird happens, he goes, oh. You could see a whole line of Pentecostals going, oh, to look at a bush on fire that didn't burn. Can you say amen? And what we need to do, amen, is do an act of reverence. Amen. The first thing that the voice said out of that burning bush, that manifestation of God on the side of a mountain, take off your shoes because you're standing on holy ground. Do something as an act of reverence. You can't come into this presence in an irreverent fashion. He's still God. Can you say amen? We're under grace, but it hasn't changed God one bit. He's still a holy and a mighty God, and we should reverence Him. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We know how to be blessed by Him. We need to learn how to bow before Him. Now, this is a holy Bible, and this is a holy God, and this is a Holy Spirit that comes to indwell us. And He calls us to live a holy life and to reverence Him. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So if you're going to begin to move in wisdom, it begins with the fear of the Lord. It's the foundation for it all. And the knowledge of the Most High. Hallelujah. Oh, Paul said, oh, that I might. I already reverence Him. Oh, now that I might know Him. The fellowship of His sufferings, that I might also know Him in the power of His resurrection. I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and I pray that He would grant unto you the spirit of revelation and wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, that you might know what is the hope of your calling, the riches of His inheritance. I could have preached in the dark. I'd had to hold a flashlight on till the anointing found me. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Listen to me. In the revelation of the knowledge of Him, amen, and that we might know the riches of His inheritance in the saints and the power to usward who believe, which He wrought in Christ and raised Him from the dead and set Him on His own right hand, amen, far above all principality and power and dominion, and hath put all things under His feet. Glory to God. Isn't that incredible? In the days of Isaiah, let me give you a background on this scripture. About 700 B.C., the kingdom of Judah was facing perilous times. Syria was advancing from the north, conquering kingdom after kingdom. Even the northern kingdom of Israel was taken into captivity. As Assyria drew near to Jerusalem, the people were undecided of where to turn. There's a lot of people in the valley of decision. And they need to choose to trust God exclusively again. I don't believe we're going to see the mighty miracles. We're going to hear mighty messages on faith. But the mighty miracles, hallelujah, we're not going to see them until we begin to choose to trust God exclusively again. God can use a physician. God can use medication. God can use a donkey to talk through. Amen. But I want you to know we need to put our trust in the Lord and not the donkey when He talks through it. Can you say amen? Amen. They didn't know which way to go. They were going to consider their options. There shouldn't have been anything to consider. Remember when David numbered Israel? It brought God's judgment on the land. It sounded like sound thinking. It sounded like the right thing to do. In conventional wisdom, that's what you do. If an enemy's coming against you, you want to know how many men you can put on a battlefield. Whether you know to negotiate with him or just go out to vanquish him. But God had told them throughout their national history, makes no difference to God to save by many or by few. And demonstrated it, praise God. Hallelujah. Shama stands in a field of lentils. Claims the covenant of God. Philistines are gathered together in a troop, the Bible says. Everybody say Shama. I love the story of Shama. Amen. He says, it's the last time I'm leaving my pea patch. Can you say, man, the devil's pushed me around too long, and this time he's pushed me too far. I'm going to claim the covenant of Almighty God with Israel. And I'm going to claim it by myself, hallelujah, if I have to. Because if you wait on somebody to hook up with you in some of these instances of claiming the covenant, you might not ever see God move. Can you say amen? Because there's so many good, well-meaning people that will try to talk you out of really trusting God with everything. Amen. Good-meaning people. But Shama says, Shama said the Philistines were gathered together into a troop, and God's people were out working in this field of lentils. And when they saw this armed troop of Philistine soldiers, they threw down their farm implements and they ran, all except for one Jew named Shama. And Shama, it said he stood in the midst of the field and defended it. Now, I love what comes next, because this is not some guy with great ability with martial arts. Huh? It said, and the Lord wrought. See, it turned God loose. When the man stood, it turned God loose. When the man claimed the covenant and stood in faith, it let God loose to work. See, God can't do this unless we learn to stand somewhere. Somewhere down the line, you're going to have to stand on your healing. You're going to have to stand for your family. You're going to have to stand. I'm standing for revival. I will not accept anything less than revival. I don't even want to preach if we can't preach toward revival. Can you say amen? I don't want to hear myself preach. I don't want to hear a tape of me. Praise God. I want to see God move. I want to see God work. I want to see the lost saved. I want to see the bound set free. I want to see the sick healed. I want to see the demon possessed. Amen. Release from bondage. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. I want to see the Holy Ghost do His thing again. Glory to God. Yay. That's the message and the interpretation together. Hallelujah. You will see it. You will see it. You will see it. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the tangible evidence of things that are not yet seen. Can you say amen? Once faith arises, we begin to stand. Once we begin to stand, God is released to move. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. They turned back and limited the Holy One of Israel. But we are not of those that turn back to perdition. We are of those that believe to the saving of the soul. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I'm going to see my loved ones saved. My wife and I are going to sing about Daniel like we used to at the Holy Church of God. And boy, my son has been given a gift on a guitar. And he's not using it for the devil anymore. It's a dormant gift just laying there. And I want my son's soul for the kingdom. And I want his talent for God. Hallelujah. 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 We got sons and daughters. Some of you have stood and saw him come in. Sherry was a tough egg to crack, but God got her. Dude over here was a tough egg to crack, but God got him. Hallelujah. Sean back there went to a place and time in his life when he was a tough egg to crack, but God got him. And the devil trying to defy me and hold out on me, but he can't hold out much longer, Sister V. This thing is about to break loose. Revival involves our own family. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. 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 We know what to do. We know where to run. We know who to look to. We're learning how to stand. We're learning how to claim. I'm not talking about name it, claim it, say it until it comes to pass. I'm talking about trusting in God. I'm talking about God here. I'm not talking about man building himself up and learning some spiritual mantra in the name of faith. I'm talking about, amen, agreeing with God. I'm talking about saying that He's the God that rules heaven and earth, that He dwelleth on high, that He is exalted, and He's filled Zion with judgment and righteousness. We know Him by name. Hallelujah. Wisdom and knowledge of who? Of the Most High shall become what? The stability of your times. Hallelujah. Don't matter what kind of trouble is around you. If you know your God. I love the story of Hezekiah, righteous king of Judah. Because here's this huge army surrounding Israel. Amen. And they're in the city, but they can't get out. They've laid siege to them. And here's this evil king that leads this marauding army that all they do is pillage and enslave. And they've went from city to city and people to people, and they're a fierce army, and no one has been able to withstand them. And now they've come, amen, and surrounded this little minority people, amen, with the great God and the covenant, hallelujah, the ancient covenant, the invisible God. You look around their city and you don't see an image like you would see in Dagon's temple. Look around their city and you will not see an obelisk, amen, covered with gold. You will not see some kind of phallic symbol. You will not see some kind of fertility God. You will not see any evidence of any God. And yet this people, amen, are standing defiant against this great army. Because a righteous king steps out and surveys the circumstances and says, we have an exclusive covenant with God. And an exclusive trust in Him will bring an exclusive victory, amen, wrought by His Spirit. Hallelujah. And he looks around and he surveys the situation in light of the ancient covenant of the children of God. And he says to them, there's more with us. We got them hopelessly outnumbered than there is with them. Then he explains himself. With them is what you can see with your natural eye. With them is only the arm of flesh. But with us is the Lord. See, it says here, in the time of trouble, it's time to exalt the Lord. The Lord is highly exalted. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. With us is the Lord our God. He it is that will fight for us. It's not enough for someone to exalt Him. You've got to come into line in faith. You've got to come into faith. You've got to take this truth by faith. And it said, and the people rested themselves on the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah. Was it his words? No, it was the truth he told them. They knew this is true. This is our heritage. This is the heritage of the servant. Oh, isn't there something that said, didn't Isaiah say it one time? I heard Isaiah preaching one time. Didn't he say, no weapon. That's it. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. And their righteousness is of me. It's a God-granted thing. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That's why it keeps them. That's why it becomes the buffer against their enemies. Can you say amen? It's a God-given standing. It's not something they earned or warranted. It's something God-granted by covenant. Wow. As Assyria drew near to Jerusalem, the people were undecided of where to turn. Some advocated they give themselves up to the Assyrians. Let's just give up. Go into slavery, at least save our lives. Let's capitulate. Let's compromise. Let's give in. Others looked to the south, believing an alliance with Egypt would save them. And they were warned by Isaiah, don't do that. Don't go down into Egypt without even consulting me. He said, because horses are just horses and men are just men. And he said, you're going to fall if you do that. And the people that have allied, these mercenary soldiers you're going to buy to fight for you, they're going to die right by you in this battle. If you go to battle without me, it don't matter how many people go into the battle. Can you say amen? The battle is the Lord's, church. The battle ultimately is the Lord's. Hallelujah. Thank God it's the Lord's. Fighting the good fight of faith means the battle is the Lord's and I'm looking to God for my victory. Oh, you didn't hear me. I said fighting the good fight of faith means the battle is the Lord's and I'm looking exclusively to Him for my victory. It doesn't mean you have become adequate. It means you know who to look to in your inadequacy. Can you say amen? Wow. And this becomes the stability of your times. You don't have to be strong to win this battle in yourself, but just strong in Him. And strength in Him comes by looking to Him exclusively. David said, man, how am I getting exclusive? So many people let him down, turned on him, become traitor. His own family members turned against him. His son tried to kill him and take his kingdom. He said, whom have I in heaven but you? And whom have I on earth but you? But when people saw David in dire straits and thought everyone's forsaken him, and it looked like God had forsaken him too, amen, they said, why don't you flee as a bird to your mountain? And David said, I don't have to go nowhere but to God. Hallelujah. Others looked to the south, believing an alliance with Egypt would save them. Isaiah was sent by God to warn people to do neither. Don't give up. And don't look to the arm of flesh. The key to their salvation was to trust in the Lord and not self, and the Lord and not men. The Lord would provide the stability they needed when all seemed lost. And it looked like there's no way out for Israel when Hezekiah walks out and says there's more with us than with them. And so the king, the evil king with his great army, you know the story, sends this emissary and he tells them, says, if you'll surrender, I'll make you my slaves. If you don't, I'll slaughter you all. So why don't you just save your wives and families and children at least, and just open the gates and we'll get this over with. Don't make us have to come take your city, because we're going to kill all of you if we do. And Hezekiah took that scroll that was rolled up and he read it, designed to strike fear, intimidation, to get people to back off, to capitulate. Those messages are always going to be around, and those messengers will always find you. They know your zip code. Can you say amen? They do. Amen. And some people will be well-meaning that would get you to try to compromise or back off of what you're standing for. I don't want you to be extreme. I don't want you to get out of the will of God, but I want us all to get back to a place in the Lord where what we say about Him and what He's promised to do can come to pass in our lives. Amen. So there can be joy in the camp again, because there is real, genuine freedom and liberty and victory among God's chosen people. How many believe that's on the list of His desires for His people? Hallelujah. Amen. So they went to the temple. On the way to the temple, Hezekiah picked up a partner to stand in agreement with him. His name was Isaiah. So him and Isaiah walk into the temple, and the Bible said he went up as he entered the temple. He opened the scroll up for this letter. Oh, by the way, there was a little P.S. down at the bottom of this letter. You want to know what the P.S. was that the king put on there? Particularly interesting P.S. It said, by the way, every nation we destroyed and every city we took called upon their gods to deliver them. And he said, their gods were not able to deliver them out of my hand, neither is your God. And they thought the Lord might like to read that. Can you say, man? See, the battle is ultimately the Lord's. Our part of fighting the fight is to trust exclusively in Him and rest upon Him. Can you say amen? Get rid of the anxiety and the anxiousness and start resting upon the Word of God. How many know this is designed to bring your soul to a resting place? Hallelujah. This will be the stability of your perilous times. Amen. In overwhelming circumstances. God's promises are here. Amen. Hallelujah. And the things that were written aforetime were written for our learning so that we could have that knowledge of God. Hallelujah. Amen. The things that were written aforetime were written for our learning that through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, we might have hope. That means the glad anticipation of future good. Sometimes I'm in such dire straits, I sit back and say, boy, when God pulls me through this, man, I'm going to see a miracle. Boy, I'm going to have a testimony. And sure enough, some of the greatest thing God has done is when I was at my weakest points in life. But I just looked to Him with my whole heart. And with that faith that people say won't work for you, that faith that's just down here, just totally dependent, that Jesus saved me faith, it works. And it works best because it gives God the most glory when it functions. I like it when people like Jehoshaphat and Asa stand and they cry out in their prayer, we have no might at all to go up against this great army, but our eyes are upon Thee. Amen, Jehoshaphat. And then a prophet stands up immediately after that kind of praying. That doesn't sound like this strident prayer of overconfident people that have faith in their own faith instead of faith in their God. Can you say, man? You can tell when people's got faith in their faith, they talk about their faith instead of their God. But when the thing is working right, you don't talk about your faith, you talk about your God. Amen? So he said, we don't have any might. We have no natural resources around us. We have no great armies. We have no allies. We have no mercenaries to fight with us. We have no might or no strength to go out against this army. Neither know we what to do. Not only don't we have the strength, we don't have any kind of plan. But our eyes are on You. And the moment he said, but our eyes are on You, and confessed his weakness, a prophet stood up and said, thou shalt not have to fight at all in this battle, for the battle is not yours. The battle is the Lord's. Isn't that incredible? Wow. Oh, by the way we're going to win this battle, though, there is a battle plan. The singers that sing in the temple the praises of God, get them out here and let them go stand as your vanguard before the enemy. Can you say amen? Isn't that incredible? And have them sing a revelation of Me. That song that brings the wisdom and knowledge of God. And it was so simplistic. You want to know what it was? This great revelation that brought such a great victory. Because you can buy volumes if you want to. But we can give it to you in a nutshell if you would like it. We sell it cheap too. Boy, when we begin to extrapolate the Word of God, we can go volumes. I mean, we, you know, preachers can preach, and we can expand and embellish and go on and on and on. God gets right down to the point, doesn't He? The Lord is good, and His mercy endures forever. Don't that just blow your socks off? Amen. A mighty victory is going to take place. They're going to see the supernatural power of God win a battle, and they're not going to pick up any weapon but praise. But it was more than praise, wasn't it? It was a revelation of God. Is the Lord good? Amen. Amen. Oh, taste and see that the Lord, He's good. Nahum said, the Lord is good. He's a stronghold in the time of trouble, and He knows them that trusteth in Him. Amen. David said, I had fainted unless I believed to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. This is not just good as we know it. This is a goodness coming out of His holiness and His divine love, blended together perfectly. Amen. He can't lie. Amen. And He doesn't lie. And He is a God of light. Amen. And He's a God of love. Hallelujah. And He loves His people. And when He commits Himself in love, it's not based on your performance. It's based on His own heart commitment and His own determination to keep His covenant. And He said, I didn't choose Israel because they were greater in number than other people. And I didn't choose them because they were so sweet, because they were a stiff-necked people. But I chose them because I made a covenant with one man by the name of Abraham. And I want to demonstrate to the whole whole world that I'm a covenant-keeping God. Can you say amen? That's why you and I can claim it. Because God stands ready to back it up. And the whole New Testament is the new covenant. Praise God. The Lord would provide everything that they needed. I'm getting ready to stop right here. But, you know, I've seen extremes. I've seen people in the name of faith do some foolish things. And I don't want to ever advocate that. I want to make it very clear. I don't want to see somebody in the name of faith quit medications that you need because the healing isn't manifest, thinking that's going to make it manifest. I do not believe in that. I do not teach that. But I'm telling you, when God healed me of leukemia, He healed me of leukemia. I didn't need chemo. They didn't even have it. We didn't have any insurance. They were going to take me. Anybody know where the old county hospital was? Every time I go by there, I think that's where I was headed at 8 going on 9. That's where I would have ended up. That's where I would be admitted to die. It wasn't St. Joseph. Now it's Tampa General. Where you know, if you don't have the money or the insurance, I think Tampa General used to take some people in. But the old county hospital looks like something out of a Stephen King, you know, something. I mean, it looked like one of those. I have visited people in the mental ward of that county hospital, and it was an experience. I mean, it was just a bad, it's gray, battleship gray walls, you know, people that just looked like they didn't want to be bothered with you. It was a bad place to be at any time. And it was little, and it was humid, and it was just a, and that's where the doctor said when he gets in the last stages of leukemia, on an emergency basis, they will take him at the county hospital, but keep him home as long as you can. And give him nutritious food so that his body will, you know, function as long as it can. And then you take him down to that hospital as it runs its course, because there's nothing else we can do. This is back in the 50s. And they didn't have the bone marrow transplant. They didn't have all the technologies. So my dad, what do we do? What's our options? You know, sometimes it gets so narrow, your options get narrow, and sometimes you say, you know, it's God or nothing. And it became God or nothing for me. The church in Tampa called the Tampa Revival Center. I remember the theme song that came on, and I would listen to the radio. The theme song would come on, "This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long." Wow. If you got a story like that, what's your story? That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. Can you say amen? When they took me to that church for healing, God did it. God did it. And He did it 100% thoroughly, instantaneously. And He does it in other ways. But in me, He did it 100%. He did it thoroughly. He did it instantaneously. I had hepatitis. And I was jaundiced. Yellow eyes, yellow skin. Weak. And becoming weaker. Along with everything else. The next day, the yellow is gone. The jaundice is gone. The weakness is gone. The strength has returned. And my dog Poncho, that I couldn't play with, was wagging his tail. That he chased because I wasn't around to chase. And I was able to go out and play with him. Little wiener dog named Poncho. Amen. And we played all day long. I mean, an 8-year-old laying on a couch most of the time. Amen. Looking at somber-looking parents now out running and playing and jumping all day long. I'm going to tell you, there was a time when we didn't just talk about these things. There was a time when we experienced them. There was a time when God was real. Amen. And relevant enough that we trusted Him. We become so self-sufficient. Do you hear me? We've always got these options. And if God don't come and do something like that, off we go on one of the options. We assume He isn't coming, we'll run after the option. Sometimes we need to quit taking all those options. You got the options. But if the options fail, you're right back where you started. And it'd be better before taking any option. See, he didn't say the sin is just in going down into Egypt and asking for some mercenaries to fight with you. The sin is going down there without asking at my mouth. I don't want to, amen, say I'll never go to a doctor, but I will never walk in a doctor's office without looking to God as my source. I want you to know that tonight. Hallelujah. Amen. Because if the doctor shakes his head and says there's nothing I can do, it is inoperable. I want him to know I know a man, hallelujah, who can. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And my trust ultimately is in him. And my outcome is not going to be dictated by your prognosis, but by His divine will. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. We need to start exalting God. The Lord is exalted, for He dwelleth on high. And it don't matter how many armies are round about you and what the threat is. Your God is still God. Look to Him and see what will happen in the nation of Israel. Hallelujah. This knowledge and this wisdom will become the stability of your times in the perilous time. Isn't that incredible? Boy, we need God exalting preaching, God exalting churches, God exalting songs. There's some songs I can't sing anymore. Not an exalt God. I mean, some of the old hymns are just wonderful. We need to bring them back. Maybe pep them a bit, but bring them back. I think they were sung peppy. I think we started dragging them out. I love the hallelujah chorus. Woo! Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't even get me started. Hallelujah. But I say this morning, a man said that if you're really right with God, no matter what kind of problems are around you, a Christian ought to be a hallelujah from head to foot. Amen? Glory to God, because we're saved. So when they spread that before the Lord, literally they showed Him the threatening things. They showed Him. They brought it to Him. They took it straight to God. And the Lord spoke again. He said, I'm going to take care of it. Now it's personal. Now it's between me and that army, not you and that army anymore. King has 185,000 troops, and they are fierce, terrible people. They go to sleep that night. They said, this place has defied us, so when we get up in the morning, we're going to scale those walls. We're going to burst through those gates. We're going to slaughter everybody in there. They can't. They're God. What God? Anybody seen a God? The next morning, the king rises to lead his army. He looks out his tent. He hears the flies buzzing. And everywhere he looks, there's corpses. And a chill runs up his spine. He looks for marks and wounds as if an army has come in and slit their throats as they slept. And no, he would have woke up. A sentinel would have saw them coming. The sentinels are dead. There's no wounds. There's no arrows. They're just lying there, corpses. 185,000 armed troops. Because the Bible said God sent a celestial being. God sent an angel. Jacob, remember the little song, I am climbing. Jacob, what did Jacob see anyway? Jacob saw a corridor. He described it as a ladder or a stairway. But he saw a corridor between heaven and earth. And he saw angels. Remember? Even in the ancient book of Job, that corridor between heaven and earth was open. God is involved in the affairs of men. He is not aloof sitting in his heaven. I said, oh, such a witness in me tonight. God is involved. Hallelujah. In the affairs of men, particularly His covenant people. Can you say amen? Jacob said, I saw angels ascending and descending. Praise God. Job, in the story of Job, Satan had come up through that corridor and it was illegal for him to do that. And God said, what are you doing here? You're banned and banished from here. He said, I came to accuse. And He said, well, let's talk about that while you're here. But don't you ever come up again. Can you say amen? But there's a corridor between heaven and earth. And angels, the Bible said, isn't it great? These mighty celestial beings that are under God's direct jurisdiction. Amen. The Bible said they are ministering spirits. And they are coming down that corridor for a reason. For a holy divine purpose. Hallelujah. They minister in behalf of those who are sanctified. It's the covenant people. Hallelujah. That they are sent to. Glory be to God. Just because you haven't seen one, don't mean that you haven't been aided. Don't mean that you haven't been helped. Don't mean that you haven't been delivered. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I want you to know this thing is going to get to where we're not just looking at stained glass and steeples. We're going to look past that to a mighty, amen, flourishing kingdom of God. Hallelujah. There's a kingdom here in the hearts of the church, heart of the church and the heart of true Christians. And there's a king that needs to be exalted. Hallelujah. Amen. I know we're in last days and I know perilous times are here, but this wisdom and knowledge of Him is the stability of our times. God is on the throne and God is in control and we can trust Him in spite of it all. Will you stand to your feet tonight? Glory to God. Did I give you something? I didn't. It's in my pocket. Number two. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. What you stand for, trusting me to bring it to pass, you will see. But you must trust me with all your heart.